Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Charles James. Tonight, we're exploring the 27th Annual Philadelphia Film Festival, which takes place on 3 to 4 screens a day, October 18th to the 28th, for 11 hours each day. I will be talking with Michael Lerman, the Film Festival Artistic Director. He is a veteran programmer of film festivals. In addition to the Philadelphia Film Festival, he curates the Toronto International Film Festival and the Palm Springs International Film Festival. He also co-runs a production company called Tiger Industry Films, for which he produces, directs, writes, and edits. Michael, welcome back to WDIY.
Thanks for having me again.
Can you put in context what makes this Philadelphia Film Festival unique in comparison to, say, Tribeca, South by Southwest, Cannes, or Toronto?
I mean, I think all the festivals you listed are premier festivals. They're dedicated to bringing new content into the world. We do some premieres, and we actually have a great world premiere for Closing Night this year. But in general, what we're really focusing on is kind of the best of the year, the best of the rest of the festival circuit, trying to bring the best movies from the year to Philadelphia versus just bring the newest stuff. And I think every festival has its own place, but regionally for us, that's what makes sense, and that's what is great for this audience.
So what criteria do you use in selecting film for the festival? And I imagine you're not only traveling to these other festivals, but you're also selecting a few things that have not appeared elsewhere?
Yeah, a few things, and we watch submissions, and you're always talking to people, and I work at a couple other festivals, so there's some things that come in that we can't show certain places, but we end up showing there. We end up showing in Philadelphia, but for the most part, you know, a lot of it is instinct. A lot of it is spending years reading audience balloting data and seeing how theaters fill and seeing what we feel like they'd like and how we feel like they'd like it positioned and that sort of thing. So first and foremost, it's what's the best stuff we're seeing.
Well, there are 14 categories of film in this year's Philadelphia Film Festival, bringing the latest works from master filmmakers and up-and-coming directors. Among those categories of film this year are world narrative, masters of cinema, Nordic film, French film, and documentary showcase. And the masters of cinema category features selection from respected filmmakers from different countries like France and Korea, Japan, and Denmark. And the Japanese film Shoplifters is from the same director as Like Father, Like Son that showed at the festival before, which was a remarkable film. And can you tell us about Shoplifters?
Sure. I mean, I think this one is even better, and I love that film so much. This is a film about it's a group of people that have been living as kind of a makeshift family off the streets, and they find an abandoned girl and bring her into the family. There's a couple, and then there's some various ages of children, and the father is teaching them to shoplift as a means of surviving. And I won't say too much else because I don't want to spoil it, but it is an incredibly heartfelt film. It's a very moving film, and it's full of lots of great details and lots of really, really moving details, and wrapped together some interesting things about Japanese society as you get deeper in it. But it captured the hearts and minds of everyone in Cannes, obviously, because it won the main prize there, and I think it's going to be one of our big hits this year. So,
and that director's name?
His name is Koreeda.
There's another film this year that's in the Masters of Cinema category called The Favorite.
Dearest Queen, how goes the kingdom?
Did you just look at me? Stop it!
I am the Queen.
But you are mad.
You look like a badger.
I have sent for some lobsters. I thought we could race them and then eat them.
Is there cake?
Be gone!
Let's shoot something.
I should have you stripped and whipped.
I'm waiting.
We went for something dramatic.
How dare you!
Your Majesty.
I'd like to enjoy the music now.
This is madness.
Sometimes a lady likes to have some fun.
So this is an Oscar-nominated filmmaker, Yorgos Lanthimos, and he's had work in the Philadelphia Film Festival before.
Yeah, so we showed a film called The Lobster a couple years ago, which is probably his biggest film. And, you know, he also made a film called Dogtooth and most recently The Killing of a Sacred Deer. He's an edgy filmmaker. He comes from Greece, and he's really big on kind of social satire. This film is a little bit more accessible than his other films, though still pretty dark as a comedy. And it's, you know, a period. It's kind of like a mean lesbian version of Pride and Prejudice in a way. It's about a queen with lesbian tendencies who's hiding them as part of the court. But it's two women that are trying to gain favor and control and power within the royal court. And so they're both trying to gain the eye of the queen, and it is perfectly nasty in so many really brilliant and very beautifully put together ways.
That's great. 18th century kind of setting for this, and
yes,
with Queen Anne. So he gives a little bit different spin on history than what you might normally get, at least
with
this
one. Yeah,
I
think that any time you get a filmmaker with that distinct point of view, it's always going to come from their voice, right? It's going to have the history, but it's also going to come very much from their voice, very much like how when you watch something like The Social Network, it feels true to life and it feels true to the depositions, but it's coming out of the voice of the penmanship of Aaron Sorkin. So it's kind of like that. It has his dark comic sensibilities.
A few of the film categories in this year's festival are various types of docs. And are any of the films, this year's films or documentaries reflecting current events like the Me Too movement or diversity, social justice, politics, or the environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big one is Divide and Conquer, the Roger Ailes documentary that we're showing, telling the story of Roger Ailes and also of sexual harassment and et cetera. So obviously that is very prevalent and very current in terms of the content. So that's a good example. Another one that I think is interesting in terms of the way it deals with the environment is a film called Biggest Little Farm, which is about people trying to start their own farm. And it deals with sustainability, it deals with food, it deals with clean living and food. And it's also just a huge crowd pleaser watching these people go through the highs and lows of what they're doing trying to start a farm.
Yeah, I saw that. That's in the documentaries category, correct?
Yes.
Among the several features in the new French film category is Mother's Instinct, which is by a Belgian director known for his psychological action movies, Olivier Massat de Passe.
Yeah, this is a really fun film in a way. It's a thriller kind of a la Hitchcock, and has to do with mothers and neighbors and how they treat their sons. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's again kind of a nasty piece of work just in terms of the way the Hitchcockian tone is laid in there, and it's nice and period. And De Passe is a really smart filmmaker. So
Nordic Voices is its own category this year.
Yeah,
and there's a film Border, directed by Ali Abbasi, that looks to be a film festival standout.
Yeah, I think Border won also a major award in Cannes. It's about a very distinct-looking border guard with the special power to be able to sniff out criminal activity, and somebody who doesn't quite fit into society but has integrated themselves well, and then they find somebody else that looks like them, and it opens a huge journey of self-discovery. It's based on a short story from the writer of Let the Right One In, which many people will remember is kind of an emotional vampire movie. And it's beautifully done. Parts of it are gross. It's very smart. It's a very smart allegory about immigration. So it's definitely worth checking out.
And there's another film, I believe, that takes place in Morocco, and a woman gives birth and then is struggling with the name to give to her son and maybe being thrown in jail. Could you talk a little bit about this film? This is, again, the French films seem to be strong showings in your festival.
Yeah, I think Sophia's a really smart film. I think it's really kind of beautifully done. It reminds me a lot of kind of the earlier Asghar Farhadi films, like A Separation, or About Ellie. And it's just kind of like, it's like a little mystery built inside a family drama that has politics of the state involved. It's all the things you said about the naming of the child, but it opens up into so much more. So it's worth checking out.
The Nordic Voices, why did it get its own category this year?
Well, every year we try to do a little bit of a regional spotlight, and it really kind of pans out to how much from each region we have. And this year, it was just a really strong Nordic year, so we decided to break that out. Some years it's Spanish language, some years it's a few other things. This year, that's what we decided to do.
What are some of the unique films that people would be able to see this year, which haven't yet been picked up for distribution in the United States and might only be part of a film festival experience?
So Sophia is definitely one of them. We have a great film called Foreboding by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, who has made many, many, many Japanese horror films that are incredibly popular in that scene. And this is an alien attack film, but a very interesting one these aliens make people sad and give them the sense of foreboding. They take happiness away from them. We have a great kind of Chinese allegory about modernity and modern life and how it's affecting elderly people called Dead Pigs. That's kind of that's a sampling of some of the films that are not yet picked up for distribution, but there are other ones. Films like La Animal and To the Ends of the World and Amin are all films that you should check out if you're looking for things that you may never get a chance to see again.
You're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Let's take a break, and we'll be back to talk more with Michael Lerman, the artistic director of the Philadelphia Film Festival.
If you are a Golden Age folkie and love the music of Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and the Kingston Trio, WDIY is the place to be on Monday nights. From 7 to 9 p.m. on folk classics, all of that great music from the late 1940s to the late 60s will fill the airwaves, and we will welcome your ideas about the artists and songs you'd like to hear. Folk Classics, Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WDIY.
So I'm Charles James, your host tonight on Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Back talking with Michael Lerman, the artistic director of the Philadelphia Film Festival, about this year's offerings. Director Barry Jenkins who won the Best Picture Oscar for Moonlights back with a film that's set in Harlem in the early 70s.
Yeah, so it's based on a James Baldwin novel. It's called If Beale Street Could Talk. It is, you know, about incarceration in the 70s of young black men, but it is also very much about love. And I think Barry Jenkins will ultimately end up being the predominant voice of our generation, filmmaker of our generation, telling stories of love.
So that'll be showing at the Philadelphia Film Center on Wednesday, the 24th. So I think it just has a single showing during the festival.
This is correct.
So I noticed in the locations in the Philadelphia Film Festival Philadelphia Film Center was formerly the Prince. And the Prince, I know, also as being a theater that the Philadelphia Film Society purchased, and it was also a performing arts center. Do you know if it's still used for performing arts as well as film, or is it only film now?
We are currently using it for performing arts, but we're working on shifting the mission over, so it's going to be primarily film.
So it seems that after a festival, you see a great film, you go back home, and you want to see it again. And many times that doesn't seem to be a possibility. So is this something that, I mean, you travel internationally to see films, and you probably have some, maybe you have screener copies of that, for instance. But what would, you know, a film lover do who wants to see a film that did not get distribution in the United States? Is there a way that they could see that film again?
I mean, I think that's what film festivals are for.
Sure.
It's about traveling the circuit. But, you know, it's in a way, it's like catch 'em while it's hot, because it's not always there.
So the documentary showcase features one film about a 15-year-old chef in New York City. And this is, I guess the film is Chef Flynn. Is that correct?
Yeah. This is actually in a, it's not in the documentary showcase section. It's in a section called Feasts that we're doing, which is food-based, which also has Biggest Little Farm and a film called Ramen Shop. Chef One is a great movie by a filmmaker named Cameron Yates, where it focuses on Flynn McGarry, who's a very popular culinary chef, and who was running a very successful restaurant out of his house. His mom was helping him and supporting him while he was trying different creations at a very young age. And it just follows kind of his rise to stardom and also the challenges of being a child and being a brilliant chef.
So is there a challenge to completing a documentary in a short enough time frame to capture something like this before the subject's age is no longer so unique, which is one of the main points of this film? He's 15 years old.
I don't know. I can't really speak to that since I'm not the filmmaker, obviously. But what I can say is that I would suspect that the trick there is filming all at once and then focusing on the edit afterwards.
So the World Narratives has a number of interesting films, and I know Amin is one of those, about a Senegalese immigrant, and Birds of Passage, another from Colombia, intriguingly described in the festival guide. Could you talk about either or both of those?
Yeah, so Amin is a film about a Senegalese immigrant and going through kind of moral struggles and romance and in Paris, and it's just kind of a beautiful character study. And The Birds of Passage is this great movie that was very popular also out of Cannes. Is the opening night of the director's Fortnite section, and it's about these kind of warring indigenous gangs or families in the drug trade in Colombia. So they're it's set in communities that you've never seen on film before. No one's ever seen on film before, and it's a Godfather-like story or Scarface-like story about these warring families and the drug trade.
I mean,
if you like big gangster epics and you're interested in indigenous cultures, this is the perfect intersection for you.
I mean, it sounds like a dangerous film to shoot, considering the setting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the filmmakers are from not the region, but they're from the country, obviously, and also spent a long time working with these families and these tribes. So
are there any emerging actors that are getting attention on the festival circuit, or does that kind of recognition typically go to the filmmaker?
I think there are a couple emerging actors. One who has been around for a little while, but who is having a great fall, and we're showing two of his three movies, is named Lucas Hedges. Our opening night movie, Ben Is Back, is actually directed by his father, Peter Hedges, and stars him and Julia Roberts. And then he's also in a film called Boy Erased that we're also showing, and he's in Jonah Hill's Mid-90s, which opens fairly early on in our festival, so it didn't make sense in terms of timing. But all three of those performances are really, really strong, and I think we're going to be hearing a lot about who Lucas Hedges come the end of the year.
So is that typical each year during the festival that the actors are getting or does it take a couple of films for them to actually kind of get a recognition for?
I think it varies. It varies based on the performances and based on the context of what else is around them. So
the Spotlights category features a film, Wild Nights with Emily, which stars Molly Shannon and is getting attention from the LGBTQ community.
It's kind of a hilarious romp of a lesbian Emily Dickinson story. It's made by a really smart filmmaker who made a film called Codependent Lesbian Space Alien that we showed a while ago, and it's very clever wordplay, and it's very brilliantly written and carefully done. It's worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I mean, apparently there was some research that showed she wasn't just the quiet person that everybody thought she might have been. I don't know if they played that up a little bit, but looks like an interesting film that's in the festival. And a lot of these films do show on the weekend as well as during the week. And for our Lehigh Valley audience, it's a good opportunity to get down and just take in two or three films a day.
Yeah, definitely. Or more.
Or more, if you can come up for air.
Yeah.
Sight and Sound is categories featuring something called Bathtubs Over Broadway, which is an entertaining documentary about a comedy writer.
Yeah, it's about a comedy writer who has strung together a musical based on these corporate songs from trade shows, from jingles, etc. It's things like "The Bathrooms Are Coming" and "My Insurance Man." It's a pretty fun little story of this guy hunting down these songs and doing things with them.
So when people are putting together their schedule, would you suggest maybe inserting something like this to break up some of the heaviness of some of the other films?
Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it's all about kind of the roller coaster of the different things you're going through.
I believe I read in looking over the guide that there's also a curator that can be provided by the festival. Is this a piece of the festival that you're familiar with this year, or?
Sorry, I think you're referring to the curated packages that we're doing. We're selling a couple different themed packages of different things.
So tell me how are the curated packages working with as a new feature of the festival this year?
We broke a few things down for people that are having trouble kind of navigating through the program. We broke a few things down by thematics or by, you know, if you want a sampling of different perspectives from around the world, you can buy a package of six films that does exactly that. If you're looking for some things without distribution, for example, you can buy a package of six films that came to us without distribution and you may never see again, and you just want to make sure you see those six. So we're selling things like that.
So American Independence film category features a film called Little Woods that is a production from debut filmmaker Nia DaCosta, and it's set in North Dakota.
Yeah, and it's about drug selling and drug trafficking over the border and a woman just trying to get her life together and trying to get out of the trade. It's a great performance by Tessa Thompson, who is, you know, who a lot of people know from Thor and from many other kind of popular movies. She was most recently seen in Sorry to Bother You this summer. So it's a really, really strong piece of work.
So how did this debut filmmaker get selected for the festival, since it's the first
year? I think, you know, this is something we saw in Tribeca. This is something we kind of fell in love with. We fell in love with the performances and the film and just said, we need to have this. We need to bring it to Philadelphia.
Which theaters and part of the city is the festival taking place in this year?
We're using three of the Ritz theaters, the two theaters in the east, and one in the Ritz 5, and then we're also using the Philadelphia Film Center, our theater.
So the guide noted that there are a few special guests that are scheduled to appear this year, and I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, what films are associated with, if you might, I guess Paul Dano is one of those that is scheduled, Joel Edgerton and Peter Hedges, and you did mention Peter before.
Yeah, and Joel, I mentioned Joel's film, Boy Erased, which Peter's son Lucas is also in, and so Joel will be here for that. Paul Dano will be here for his film Wildlife that we're showing, which stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Carey Mulligan, and we also have you know, a number of other filmmakers coming. Jason Reitman is coming with his new film, The Front Runner, and then some of the filmmakers for the smaller films, too. We're still getting the full list together.
Yeah, I particularly think that's a great feature of a festival when there's an opportunity for Q&A, particularly if it's in any of the cases, I think. But yeah. I've enjoyed that with a documentary that was shot down in Brazil one time in one of the largest landfills in the world. The producer was at that showing. Just a great opportunity to ask about, you know, how it was put together. So are certain films expected to be a sellout on the weekend?
Yeah, I think, you know, tickets are going and some of the things are more popular than others. Obviously, the centerpieces sell faster. But, you know, if you want to go, now's the time to go check it out.
For more information on the festival, go to filmadelphia.org. Michael Lerman is the Philadelphia Film Festival Artistic Director. Thanks for being my guest on Lehigh Valley Art Salon tonight here on WDIY.
Thank you so much.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies. a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of The Press.
With A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper could not have chosen a more daunting challenge for his theatrical feature film directorial debut, and he succeeds. A Star Is Born is a leading Academy Award contender. Look for multiple Oscar nominations. Cooper directs himself as Jackson Maine, a successful country singer-songwriter. He directs Lady Gaga as Allie, an aspiring singer-songwriter, and Sam Elliott as Bobby, Maine's conflicted older brother. The plot is essentially the same as in previous versions of A Star Is Born, most especially the Barbara Streisand Kris Kristofferson version. If you're familiar with the previous films, so be it. We won't play spoiler here. Despite the familiar cinematic pedigree, Bradley Cooper explores new territory in a successful, satisfying, and emotionally moving retelling of the tale. The dialogue has several memorable lines and moments of insight. The on-screen chemistry between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper is convincing. They also sing duets very well together. Their music performances elicit heart-pounding excitement. Cooper, an Oscar nominee as actor for American Sniper, American Hustle, and Silver Linings Playbook, gives a great performance behind a full beard and often under a cowboy hat. The star of the show, of A Star Is Born, is Lady Gaga in her first theatrical leading role. This is a transformational performance for Lady Gaga. Her face is stripped bare of her stage act, of her Lady Gaga artifice. Here, she's Stephanie Germanotta, her real name. At the heart of A Star Is Born is the music. In the concert performances, Bradley Cooper is backed by Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real. Lucas Nelson, a son of Willie Nelson, co-wrote several of the songs in the movie with Cooper and Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga wrote many of the songs with a bevy of top songwriters. A Star Is Born is thoroughly entertaining. It's a chick's flick in a man's world. What goes up must come down. It's an old story. The truth is in the telling. A Star Is Born is MPAA rated R for language throughout, some sexuality, nudity, and substance abuse. Opening October 19 are Halloween. David Gordon Green directs Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, Andy Matichak, and James Jude Courtney in the horror film. It's a remake of the original with the Scream Queen, Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, again facing Michael Myers. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Marielle Heller directs Melissa McCarthy, Richard E. Grant, Dolly Wells, and Ben Falcone in the biography drama based on the true story of a celebrity biographer based on her memoir of the same title. Mid-90s. Jonah Hill directs Sonny Sujic, Lucas Hedges, Nicole Smith, and Olin Prenat in the comedy. A 13-year-old has a troubled home life and hangs out at a skateboard store. What they had. Elizabeth Chomko directs Hilary Swank, Michael Shannon, Robert Forster, and Blythe Danner in the drama. A woman returns to her brother's house to take care of their ailing mother. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.